we're not looking closely enough at the data to see who exactly is failing, why exactly are they failing, and what exactly should we do about that.
Three-time Green Jacket coffee mug guest coming up next.
And now it's time for another edulicious episode of the Bentley Brothers Podcast, bringing you what's current and what works in education. Here are your hosts, Scott and Tim Bentley.
Bentley Brothers, Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bentley Brothers, yep. Bentley, Bentley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Yep.
First name Bentley, last name Brothers, bringing education information like no other.
Well, that was good, Scott.
I liked it.
Woo! Okay, well, before we get to Rebecca, let's give our listeners a little preview about a discount that they can get later on in the show.
Yeah, we really want to thank our new sponsors, Advancement Courses, for sponsoring today's show. And stay tuned till the end of the show, because we're going to tell you how to save 20% on online professional development classes. So those of you out there looking to ramp up your units so you get more on that pay scale, do it ASAP. Trust me, in the long run, you're going to want to have that extra dough in your pocket.
Yes, sir. All right. So today we get to hang out and talk to Rebecca Milwaukee. She is the 2012.
You got it.
Hey, I got it right. Okay. 2012 National Teacher of the Year. And this is her third time visiting with us here on the Bentley Brothers. She's got a new book coming out, published by ACSD. And it's called Adventures in Teacher Leadership. Is that right, Rebecca?
That's right. You got it. Strategies, pathways, and inspiration for every teacher.
And Tim, I have to brag on Rebecca, because she is one of the most amazing, authentic people. I put out this tweet because I was doing this like little online conference for new teachers in my district. And of course she responds and says, yes. And this was like out of the love of her heart to like help some teachers. So she does a Google Hangout in and talks to the new teachers in my district just to help them. Like, what an amazing person out there trying to impact education. We're so thankful to have you back again for this third time.
You're welcome. It was a fun, fun day getting to work with the teachers in your part of the state. And I think that's how we rise, is we watch each other teach. We elevate great teachers. We ask each other to come in and help when we need help. And that's the way you do it. That's how we all get better together.
Tell us about your new book, Rebecca.
Well, my new book, it happened because I was a teacher who was really excited, really enthusiastic. I was that teacher, always going extra in my classroom. And I noticed that I had sort of a team of colleagues who were really like me. And we searched for ways to make our experiences at school better for kids, for our colleagues, for our communities, for the parents. We just wanted our school to be great. And we knew that our principals and administrative team couldn't do everything. They couldn't be everywhere all the time. And we weren't going to wait for the cavalry to ride in and make these things happen. So we got to work ourselves, and we began to build and design the things that would make school cool. And I noticed that that's a form of teacher leadership that's really unrecognized, and that it was really one of the only ways that great teachers can lead in their lives without leaving the classroom, is finding all the ways in your daily practice that you can give a little extra or do a little more or put something in place that didn't exist before to try to make school cool for kids, or to make PD better for your colleagues, or to make your administrator's life better and easier by pitching in and helping. And so what we did was make a list of all the ways that teachers are leading without becoming administrators or without having to leave public education to work from the outside back in. And there were so many ways. And what we decided to do with the help of NSTOY, the National Network of State Teachers of the Year, and the leadership there, was to create a handbook for any aspiring teacher leader so that they would know, one, who else is out there? What other rock star teachers exist doing this work? Two, what do they do? If you want to be a teacher leader, what does it look like? Where does it happen? How do you do it? What pitfalls do you avoid? And then three, what are some things you could do in your own space to become the teacher leader you've wanted to be but didn't even know was a thing? And so the result of that long labor is a 5-chapter book that's modeled around the teacher leader model standards. Teacher leaders have standards just like we have teaching standards. There are standards around how we communicate with each other, what promises we make to each other around professional development, what advocacy looks like if you want to advocate for the profession at the local, state, federal levels. And so we use those as our guidelines, and we search for stories of great teachers around the country. We brought their stories into the book, and we've shared them with you. So our hope is that you'll be super inspired to hear all the ways teachers are leading around the country. You will find a home for yourself in one of the chapters. You'll hopefully see yourself. Maybe it's in the PD chapter. Maybe it's in the using data chapter. Maybe it's in just how to communicate better with all the people in your orbit. But you'll find a home there. And in that home, there'll be practical steps, strategies, ideas, and inspiration so that you can keep going on your own journey. That was the long answer.
And a great answer. And it's something that I think about. Sometimes it's easy to get in the mode of pointing out who should be doing this, complaining about why isn't this being done, when I think the answer that always pops into my head is like, wait, what can we do to change that? What can we do to fix that? You saw it, but let's come with some solutions. And it sounds like that's a lot of what this book is about, is not just seeing maybe the problems in education, but how do you actually get at solving it?
You know what? I think you're so right. And I've read a lot lately, little blogs or listened to podcasts, and I'm really enamored with the phrasing people are using around problems. And it's that teachers sometimes like to idolize the problem more than they like to plan the solution. And I just thought about the book and all the teachers that I met in writing the book. And that's the signature move, is you discover that something is missing in your teaching life, or something is not happening at your school or in your community or for teachers as a profession. And you decide, I'm not waiting for somebody else to do it. I have the talent, I have the energy, I have the will. I want to put something in a place where there was nothing to try to make things better. And you're right, these are people who are solutions oriented and who at heart and at the bottom line just want things to be great, and they know that we can do it.
Yeah, it's such a coincidence too, because just today at our staff meeting, two of the teachers led the staff meeting. Big shout out to Jacob and Monique. All about character development in our school. And they're starting the plan for next year and how we're going to develop character in our kids using the Boys Town model. And they wanted teacher input, and they were running the whole thing. They were in charge. It wasn't admin.
And how did that feel to you?
Well, it's great. I'm inspired because I see my colleagues getting passionate about something, and it's not kind of a top-down thing. It's a peer-led. You mentioned the list, and I'm one of these people that love lists, along with a lot of other folks out there, and I think that's awesome that you're giving us a list. Can you maybe share one or two as teasers of things that are on that list that people are going to be reading about when they read your book?
Do you mean like the list of things to do or not do, or the list? What kind of list?
Well, you mentioned the list of ways that teachers can be involved in being leaders in their school.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Without getting in, becoming an administrator.
Yeah. So the first example would be Angie Miller from New Hampshire. She realized right away in her very remote town of Plymouth, New Hampshire, that her kids were not going to receive exposure to the world that maybe other kids who live in bigger cities or who have more resources would have access to. And she knew that she alone could not open all of those doors and windows for all the kids. She said, we got to be collaborating with each other. There's no reason why my English content for my 9th and 12th graders cannot be coupled with what's going on in the social studies class and in the science class. So she reached out to all the colleagues at her school and said, I would like to do a research project together on refugees. What are you teaching in the next 3 to 6 months? Is there any way we could kind of combine efforts and come up with a project that helps them see the totality of the refugee experience? And it was hard going at first, because in so many schools we're isolated from each other, we're prevented from meaningfully collaborating. No one really teaches us how to have effective, productive, forward-moving, solutions-based time spent together. So Angie like built the plane while she was flying it. And they created this great like Franken project that had to do with Syrian refugees, where They brought in outside speakers. They had pen pals. They did a research project. There was art and music. There was a food day. And they all were kind of like, at the end, she said, we just kind of limped across the finish line. And we were exhausted. And they had to be honest, and this is true in every chapter, these aren't battles we fight. These are adventures we go on. But sometimes you take a bit of a beating because it's exhausting and wonderful. So she said, the next year when it was time to start planning, I knew that I wanted to go again, but I wasn't sure everybody else was. So we decided to kind of put a pin in that and wait and see. And she said, within the first week of school, the number one question kids asked was, what's our project this year? And that it was undeniably a success. And the kids wanted more, more, more. And the teachers just looked at that and went, we got to keep this going. And so many years later, they've done a big multi-content project every year that involves everybody. They've learned how to communicate well together. They've learned how to plan together. They've learned how to delegate tasks so they can be stronger together. So that's an example of something so little you could do today on your campus. And then the book has really big examples of, you know, an entire chapter of NSTOY in Utah, a group of 12 teacher leaders who have taken on Congress. And they have lobbied Congress, they have written letters to their governor, and they've done the really big work around maybe teacher preparation programs or getting laws changed that make schools safer. So there are people working at every end of the spectrum, from a lesson plan all the way up to laws.
You know, Rebecca, I think it's important that teachers take those leadership roles. What happens when they're in a position where an administrator or the standards or whatever regulation in a school site or how that school site's run is pushing hard back on them from maybe taking those roles that you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. I think the first and honest answer is that sucks.
Yeah.
I work for a district that's real lean, and we don't have a traditional hierarchy like you might see in any other industry or even in big districts. So you've got your teachers, you've got your assistant principals, you got your principals, and then you got the soups. So we've never invested in until now, a curriculum specialist layer, an instructional coaching layer, a TOSA layer. But in other districts, those things exist. And there are pathways up to the top, and there are fairly firm boundaries around those roles. And getting into them requires very traditional pathway, like applying for it, needing to have the right certification or master's degree. I find that in places where there is a ladder, there's not a lot of pushback. It's just another job you might apply for. It's where those roles aren't defined that you find a lot of pushback from other colleagues who go, ugh, what are you wasting your time for? We tried that. It's never going to work. Mm-hmm. Or you're making us look bad. Stop working so hard. You know, things like that, that really kind of corrode the soul of good teachers. And so what I would say to somebody that's experiencing that moment is stay the course, mute your haters, put them on mute. I want you to keep doing what you're doing because at the end of the day, you know it's what kids need, you know it's what they deserve. You know there's no one but you who wants to do it in that moment, in that space. You're it. And that whole phrase, like, if not you, then who? If not now, then when? So you've got to get a tough skin. You got to get your elbows up. You got to keep smiling. You got to keep working. And you just need to create a coalition of the willing. Because I promise you, there is somebody else on your campus watching you and waiting for a signal. And that signal is an invitation to come help, an invitation to come watch and ask. It's something. And they're just waiting for that moment to like have that put me in coach moment. As soon as they see you're doing something unique and innovative and fun that looks like leadership, it's like catnip. You know how our friend Dave Burgess says, he says, if you light yourself on, or he said, yeah, light yourself on fire with passion for what you do, and people will come for miles around to watch you burn. And that's just so true. We don't realize it. We don't notice that there's a whole bunch of people waiting and watching for you and the project you want to do. So collect them and create that coalition of the willing, and then just keep on rolling.
Oh, Dave Burgess.
Dave Burgess.
That's brilliant.
All right, Rebecca, I have a challenge for you.
Okay.
Okay, so you mentioned within I want to say 2 minutes of each other, two separate phrases that I have a hard time putting together.
Okay.
Ways to make school cool. And then you mentioned a chapter in your book called Using Data.
Yeah.
So my challenge to you is inspire us right now. How in the world can those two things go together?
All right, so Danielle Massey, who works in the District of Columbia, teaches algebra to ninth graders. And for the longest time, you know, she was doing what we all do. You know, we teach our hearts out, we write great plans, we develop lots of interesting ways for kids to access our content. And when they struggle, we develop interventions that we can do in the day and after our work day to try to bring them back onto the reservation of learning. And yet sometimes we're not looking closely enough at the data to see who exactly is failing, why exactly are they failing, and what exactly should we do about that. So with her other ninth grade algebra colleague, they looked at their assessment data question by question, standards band by standards band. They looked for trends and they looked for what that data could tell them. And it was that African-American boys were struggling at a rate and a level that astonished them. And they needed to react and respond to that. And so they got together to understand more about what is that struggle about. Is it about math? Is it about conceptual understanding? Is it about access to the content? Is it about barriers to learning that exist after you leave campus? So then they needed more support in the form of psychologists and counselors to see what the true picture could tell them. And as soon as they realized what really was going on, they worked with more experts to discover what a quality intervention looks like to try to save those kids. Not save them, that sounds like the wrong thing. But what I meant was how to give them those foundational skills around algebra that were not going to condemn them to a life hating math and having math hurt them. So it was sort of a combo platter of an after-school intervention homework, a little bit of homework help, some tutorial, some leadership activities and character building. And the combination of those things that they could have only known about had they done some research and looked at data was the ticket. And their pass rates went up, their attendance rates went up, all kinds of good started to happen because they looked at data.
There you go, Tim.
Challenge accepted. Mic drop.
Nice job, Rebecca. Well, let's get silly for a little while instead.
Okay.
Now that we've talked about data. So, Rebecca, by looking at your last name, it seems very challenging to pronounce, but in reality, it's easy, right? You just say it like the city, Milwaukee.
That's right.
So from what I understand, the similarities stop there. Evidently, Milwaukee is a very strange place. So today we're going to ask you three questions about some weird stuff going on in Milwaukee.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, we're calling our little game Mill Weird Key.
Am I playing for anybody? Does somebody win a book if I get these right?
Well, you're about to find out. Scott, tell her. I like how you set me up for that one. Scott, tell our audience who Rebecca will be competing for today.
Rebecca, you're going to be competing for Andrea Spano, a fifth grade teacher in Charlotte, North Carolina. If you're able to answer two out of the three questions correctly, Andrea, she's going to be, stop for a second. She's going to get something really crazy cool. She's not only getting your new book, Rebecca, but she's getting a limited run patch of adventures and teacher leadership. Sweet is that? I've got like a vest from Adventure Guides. Man, if I get one of those somehow, that's going on that vest.
Oh, you got to put, you're having a big teacher leader adventure. So I concur. That would be a wise placement.
Here we go. I should call you Milwaukee since we're asking you questions about Milwaukee. With your first question, one thing that makes Milwaukee so weird is the American Science and Surplus Store. This strange retail outlet sells all of the following items except for one. Which of these would you not find in the American Science and Surplus Store?
Okay.
Is it A?
Freeze-dried whale livers.
Is it B?
Zombie heads.
Or is it C?
A bin of legs.
So two of those three are in the store. You have to find the one that's not. So it's either freeze-dried whale livers, zombie heads, or a bin of legs.
I'm going to go with zombie heads, B.
Well, guess what? They actually sell zombie heads.
Oh.
And they have a bin of legs.
I was gonna go with that. Yeah, bin of legs. I think I've seen that before.
Yeah.
In my cart on Amazon.
But they don't sell freeze-dried whale livers. So unfortunately, you missed the first one. But let's try on the second one here, okay? If you've done everything fun there is to do in Milwaukee, why not go bowling? Or you could hang yourself.
Oh.
Jim Gaffigan, you know, sorry. Anyway, if you visit Causes Mini Bowl in Milwaukee, what oddity would you discover there? Is it A
teenager rolls your ball back to you.
Is it B?
There are human pin setters.
Or is it C?
All of the lanes run slightly downhill.
All right. Well, I have attended a bowling alley with human pin setters. So that's not, I mean, that is a novelty, but it's not rare and it's not an oddity. The kids rolling the ball back to you is kind of funny and small town. But I'm thinking maybe, maybe it's C. No.
C? You want to see some more information here on the... well, we didn't say how big of an oddity it was, but, you know, I mean...
Then the human pin setters. Yeah, yeah, that feels right.
Okay, so you actually did guess it because you said the human pin setters.
Yeah.
You didn't think it was that odd.
No.
No, that is, well, at least around here, I've never been to a bowling alley with human pin setters. Have you, Scott?
I have not, Tim. It's all machinery.
You guys got to get around more often.
I know.
There's not enough hipsters where you live, kind of bringing back the idiosyncratic, kind of anachronistic little things that are happening around here.
I think where we live, it's just we're just not patient enough for some to wait for somebody to set up the pins.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably. Okay. Well, here's your final question, Rebecca. If you're in Milwaukee and you want to purchase juggling supplies, frisbees, magic tricks, or fart bombs.
Piggly Wiggly. You got to go to the Piggly Wiggly.
You would visit this very strangely named store. What is the name of this Milwaukee retail shop?
Wait, she has to know the names of stores? Like this
I might know it. Hit me.
Okay. Is it A? You won't know this. Don't worry.
Art Smart's Dart Mart Juggling Emporium.
Okay.
Or is it B?
Tony the Tiger's Trick Trunk.
Or is it C?
Ain't nobody want none of this stuff. Mercantile.
My God.
That is actually the name of the store. Art Smart's Dart Mart Juggling Emporium. Tony the Tiger's Trick Trunk. Ain't nobody want none of this stuff. Mercantile. Which one do you think it is?
I think it's Art Smart. A.
Art That is a good guess. That is great.
That's it. Anything with Emporium is the winner. Always.
So, Scott, how did Rebecca do on today's ridiculous quiz?
Yeah, this is ridiculous, Tim. Good job, Rebecca. You got 2 out of 3 correct, and that's good enough to be a winner.
Yay!
Congratulations, you won nothing. You knew that, but Andrea.
You
are super stoked right now. Because you're getting a new book and a limited patch. You just did that and got that, and Rebecca's going to send it out to you. We're so excited.
Yay.
Woo.
Congrats, Andrea.
All right, and before we wrap things up with Rebecca, we want to hear this word from our sponsor, our awesome sponsor, Scott.
Start planning your summer professional development with Advancement Courses. They offer over 200 online graduate level PD courses in 19 different subject areas for K-12 teachers just like us, Tim. And because they're online and self-paced, you can take them anywhere, anytime, with up to 6 months to complete. Hey, if you're on vacation in Paris, you could be taking a class. I don't know why you would, but you could. The courses are available for graduate credit through CAEP, and regionally accredited university partners, or on continuing education credits that meet your state requirements.
They're a fantabulous way to get your summer PD done. And the courses really focus on creating practical products that you can use in your classroom the very next day. Right now, yes, right now, our listeners can save 20% off each course by using the coupon code BROS20. That's B-R-O-S, the digits 2 and 0. And that's just $120 for graduate credit hour or $160 for 50 clock hours. So go to advancementcourses.com/Bedley, B-E-D-L-E-Y, to learn more and use the coupon code BROS20. Get started on your summer PD today. All right, Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today. How can our audience continue to learn from you in the future?
Well, on Twitter, I'd love to connect with you. I'm at Mrs. Milwaukee. My website is spellingcounts.com. And I would love to send you a book. If you would like a copy of my book, find me on Twitter, send me your name and info, and I'll give you a nice, healthy discount. And otherwise, I'm just looking forward to keeping in contact with you guys and staying out there in the teacher leadership space and inspiring teachers to be more, to do more, and to have a lot of fun leading.
All right. Thank you so much, Rebecca. And Scott, why don't you remind our listeners about a little bit about Global School Play Day, shall we?
Hey, listen, if you haven't heard about Global School Play Day, let me quickly tell you. Over 500,000 kids from 78 different nations participated in the fifth year, just the fifth year. Tim, that's kids from around the world having their teachers say, you know what? We value unstructured play. We understand play's vital importance in a child's development and healthy social emotional development. And we can't emphasize enough how important this is to say, this is just a day to bring awareness. We want our kids having unstructured play as often as they can, because it really does lead to things like greater empathy, greater collaboration, stronger imagination. I mean, the benefits go on and on forever, but I am going to stop right there.
That's right. Go to globalschoolplayday.com, sign your class up, your school up, your district up, your whole city up for Global School Play Day, and help us reach 1 million kids playing in 2020. All right. So I just got a new idea. I'm going to try this right now. Okay.
Oh. Hello,
brothers. So if you've made it through all of our blah, 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 you're going to get to hear the first time we do this. You know, one of our guests did this thing, was promoting this idea that's gone global, where we ask our students to finish the sentence, one thing I wish my teacher knew. What was her name again, Scott?
Schwartz.
That's right. Okay. And so I'm going to ask Rebecca before we go, if you could say, finish the sentence, one thing I wish my students knew about you, what would it be?
How much I think about them long after the bell has rang.
I love that. Excellent.
Hey, Rebecca, thank you again for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's always a fun time. You guys are nuts in the best possible way.
We're nuts about you, Rebecca.
Thanks for listening, Mom and Dad.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Bye, Mom and Dad.
National Teacher of the Year.
That was cool. Bedley Brothers, 2013, 2018. Getting her done. Big Ron here. Getting her done. Think I might change my name to Ron Bedley so I could be one of those Bedley Brothers. Yeah. Bedley Brothers, Bedley, Bedley Brothers, bringing education information like no other. Bedley Brothers, Bedley, Bedley Brothers.